and verse 14 and 15. I'd like to thread some scriptures together tonight. In light of the historical speech given at the Capitol this week. In Genesis 49, Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens, and he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. This is a tribe that is spoken of in most glowing terms in Israel's ancient history. They were the tribe that apparently God had used in a very spectacular way, but they were the ones of whom it was said that they were discerning of the times around them. And I point out a couple of things here with regard to this statement. They saw that rest was good, and the land was pleasant. That's the land we're talking about is the land they're trying to give away. Okay. And of course you understand that, from every, point on the political spectrum, if Netanyahu loses the election in March, his replacements more than likely will concede the two-state solution and happily, for the sake of peace, hand over the land that the world demands Israel give. So there's a lot riding. I say that for this, that even as this ancient tribe saw rest and the land, they too are equated. They're looking at the land, even as today's Jew looks at the land, a place of rest and safety. And I want to thread some scriptures together and make application of what we read here from the New Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, I want you to go with me through these references and piece them together. For here's a message for those of us upon whom the ends of the world are come. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, now all these things happened unto them. And the apostles looking way back in Israel's ancient history. All these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. So whenever anybody questions the relevancy of ancient scripture text to today's circumstances, you appeal to the scripture and you understand that all that you have here preserved in God's word was preserved so that you would have a record of the things that happened to them for a specific purpose. They're written for our admonition. And the addressees are said to be in verse 11, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's us. We are the generation where it can be legitimately said that the ends of the world are upon us. Now understand, again, when we put that in a perspective out of Genesis 49, Issachar, like the Jews today, looked to the land as home. As a matter of fact, in advance of the speech that Benjamin Netanyahu gave, he publicly stated that he was responsible for his people, and he invited Jews in Europe and other places where they were being persecuted to come home. The invitation, of course, there were a lot of people who took offense at that, thought it was rather arrogant, but They have no shred of honor or sense of honor. But these things happen for examples, written for our admonition. Then there is another thread in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 verse 4 is the next place we observe. Romans 15, 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, in one sense, I have to admit that I am a bit conflicted. And I think I've made mention of this on Sunday. I have long held the view that while we do not look for signs, but for listen for sounds, yet there are things that happen in the contemporary time cycle that serve as indicators of things that are on the threshold of happening. And one of the things that I've always held for years and years is that nothing of a apocalyptic nature is going to occur until Israel feels secure enough in a treaty format to surrender its right to defend itself, which translated means they would refrain from using their own military and their rocket capabilities independent of the world community's opinions or sanctions, and surrender their security to a third party. Now, I don't really want the election to be lost on March 17th to the Obama acolytes in Israel. But on the other hand, if that happens, then the bags that you already have packed, all right, your go bags for heaven packed already, put your hand on one handle of it. Under Benjamin Netanyahu, of course, there's not going to be any surrendering of their right to self-defense. If he's removed from office, as they say in Las Vegas, all bets are off. And nobody's going to be taking bets on that outcome. Now, I just heard today, too, which is a sort of a monkey wrench into the whole thing, was that Iran summarily rejected the John Kerry brokered arrangements. I'm kind of disappointed about that, too, in the overall prophetic scheme of things, you know, but God's in control of this whole thing, and there's a lot that just throw me out of the lifeboat, so to speak. I don't get some of this. But with all that said, the passage in Romans 15:4 speaks about our hope. We have hope. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. And I listened to an in-depth commentary by Mark Levin online this morning, and he feels like many of us do. He just bluntly stated that he is absolutely terrified for our country with this president in office. I can't think of the word he used. It was very beneath his acumen, but it was translated out. He was scared for what's happening. But he speaks from a vantage point, though rock-ribbed politically conservative. He doesn't have the hope that you have. He doesn't speak from a basis of hope in Christ. He's looking at his fright as that of sheer, utter hopelessness unless somebody in Washington stands up and takes this guy on face to face. I want another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And just a sort of a side lesson. When I looked at it closely, it opened my eyes there. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 29. This I say, brethren, the time is short. The time is short. Now that's a first century perspective. How many years have passed since Paul uttered those words under the inspiration of the scriptures? Many moons. And if short then, even so much more now. But the word short is from a root word with the nuanced meaning of to enshroud or to encase or wrap. And it has the, from what I gather, takes you into the mortician's parlor, the funeral parlor, first century style, where whoever was charged with the, and the Jewish custom of embalming, where they would bring the spices and the perfumes, would also then wrap the body from head to toe, sort of like in mummified fashion. This word short takes us to the point where the individual doing that is coming to the last strand on the wrap before he's finished. The time is short. And so when we think about it, from that vantage point, the time was short is in the sense that the man or the woman charged with the embalming was just about ready to finish the job and take the carcass or the corpse to the tomb. Time is short. It doesn't get any shorter than that. So time marches on even after a person dies. You understand that. So we have 1 Corinthians 7:29 pictured back in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13, 11. Where we can get this same sense in that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, more to the point of our discussion, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And if nearer for the apostle when he wrote this to the Romans, much so, much more now, nearer than when we believed. The apostle Peter in his epistle chapter 4 verse 7 said this, the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. The apostle Paul in the book to the letter to the Philippian church, he said in chapter 4 verse 5, the Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. And then in James chapter 5 and verse 8, would you look there please? James chapter 5 and verse 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. With that said, we do well to take the counsel of the author of the book of Hebrews to heart when he said in this, using this familiar verse in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So when all this was spinning around on Tuesday morning during the course of the speech, and I was trying to listen to what he was saying, but I couldn't help. This side of my brain was going into the scripture, and I'm trying to piece what he's saying with what the Word of God says. And On the one hand, there was joy over the courage that the man had to say what he did, and on the other hand, there was even though he would hand out the book of Esther, and he's done that to many people in high places, including our president. I'm not 100% sure that even Benjamin Netanyahu knows Christ. So on one hand, I'm joyful over what he's saying. On the other hand, I lament that he perhaps is typical of the Jew who is now residing in the land, thinking that the land in and of itself will be a safe haven with their Iron Dome missile defense system and all of that. And yet they have no real substantive hope. Joy on the one hand, lament on the other hand. It's hard to balance that all out. The day is approaching. And then, of course, the Apostle John, in his epistles, chapter 2, verse 18, he said this, with certainty, he says, we know that it is the last time. And again, going back to the first century, if the apostle under the inspiration of the Spirit said then even so now we know it is the last time. From the first century perspective, time is short. Even so more today. Now the takeaway for those like us upon whom the ends of the world are come is this. We started out in Genesis 49. Verses 14 and 15. Issachar saw the land. He saw the land. His appraisal was pleasant. There, his rest seemed to be good. So then, like him, like that tribe, we do much the same, but we are not looking to the land, but to the Lord. He is our rest. He is our divine Sabbath. And the Lord himself said in Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30, come unto me. He didn't invite people to come back to Jerusalem, but come unto me, and I will give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ in his mighty omnipotent power is far more effective than the Iron Dome missile system, and that is a scientific marvel in and of itself. The Apostle Paul told the Thessalonian Christians, he said, to you who are troubled, rest with us. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. You who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. And when you look at that in its context, it's talking about the end of the tribulation. It's talking about the end of the tribulation. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 is speaking about the coming of the Lord after the tribulation. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, where he says, the Lord himself, our rest, our hope, our Savior, shall descend from heaven. That is pre-trib. So Paul, in those two epistles, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, before the tribulation, rest. After the 7-year tribulation is over, those of you who are troubled, rest with us. Troubled who? Well, I read in the book of Revelation that there were those who were martyred in the tribulation period, who were concerned and expressed their concern. Lord, how long? And remember, the Lord Jesus said to them in the book of Revelation, he said that there was going to be more martyrdoms, but that there was going to be a conclusion. And so rest in the Lord. When we think again about this, all whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, me and you, through patience and comfort of scriptures, might have hope. So you thread all these things together. You piece them together in the light of the times in which we live. And while we can rejoice and pump the fist victoriously over all that was said this past week, and right that we should, yet we go beyond that because we have a hope that endures beyond the settlement concerning the land. Ultimately, you understand that that according to what we read in the tribulation, the land is going to be surrendered. You understand that. The land is going to be surrendered. It's going to come under the dominion of somebody besides the people of Israel. So when I look at all this, I see the shadows creeping onward, and my heart is happy. On the one hand, great and happy, but on the other hand, I guess it's more, I don't want to say pride, that's not the right word. I would still like to see the political bad guys get theirs. You know what I'm saying? Just before the rapture, of course. I really would like to stomp around a little bit as I watch them get theirs. But we'll let that in the Lord's hands. Our dear Heavenly Father, take the scripture and help us to lay it to heart. And to thank you, dear God, that you've made so clear some of these things that are so confusing. And while we do not pretend to understand all that is yet before us, we know that one thing will never change, and that's you. So whatever else may come and go, rise or fall, you're always the same. You are our God, our Savior. Your word is fixed forever in heaven, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.